There's a passage of scripture often quoted, as with many scriptures that we hear about, know about, and maybe have in our memory. Sometimes we're not quite sure where it is, but if I start the verse, not by might, but by power. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, what I thought was very familiar, obviously, is not very familiar. Not by might, nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So who is saying it? God is saying it. He's offering a statement to the people that is enormous in what he's saying. The word might and power in English seems very close together, but these are two separate Hebrew words. Not by power of your own effort, nor by your ability, not by might or power, not by your own effort or ability will things happen, but by my spirit. Now, Israel had not learned this lesson very well when God brought it to them. All that led up to this statement and all that it points to in the future is enormous. It's a crescendo kind of statement where God is trying to say to his people, you need to grasp this, you need to understand it. If this statement that God gave was not written but spoken, it would sound throughout the entire universe as, yes, this indeed is how we should live. Not by power, not by might, not by our own effort and by our own abilities, but by the Spirit of God will things be accomplished. Now, when God spoke this to Israel, what had been the build-up to this statement? What was going on right now when God gives this message to the people? And what will be its future in terms of how it will flesh itself out? So if I were to ask you, and I'm now pretty sure that I'm not going to get an answer, but where do you find this passage of scripture? Don't Google. Please don't do that for me. Okay. All right, I'm going to help you out. Is it an Old Testament or a New Testament statement? Old. Okay. You got Pentateuch, first five books. You got the writings, you know, Psalms and those kind of things, Job and Psalms and Proverbs. And then you got the prophets. So of those three categories, which one do you think it's going to come out of? Prophets. Okay. Now we're narrowing it down. Okay. Will it be a major prophet like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel? No? Yes? You know, I'm winding you down. So you, if you're careful, it's of the minor prophets. Okay. How many minor prophets do we have? There's a lot of them. Okay. I'll let you go back and count them. Okay. Now, if I tell you that the prophet who God inspired to speak these words was a prophet by the name of Zechariah. Zechariah. Is he world famous to you? Do you know a lot about him? Do you know when he lived? Do you know what was going on historically? If you picked up your Bible and you flipped open and there's Zechariah, maybe I'll read some, and he says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord. Do you know how powerful that statement is? What does it mean? I'll give you a little bit of information. The book of Zechariah is quoted or alluded to in the New Testament how many times? 50 to 70 times. And you say, whoa. And I don't know any, I don't even know the guy's name. I don't know when he lived. I don't know what he did. Now that's not good. Okay. 50 to 70 times. And most of those were an influence on the book of Revelation. And he's only second to Ezekiel in the influence that the Old Testament writers had on the book of Revelation. So what were some of those quotes that come out of Zechariah? Your king shall come how? Riding on a donkey. Okay, that's where that comes from. When Matthew and Jesus fulfilling scripture says, go and find the donkey, that's how I'm coming into Jerusalem. Another one. Zechariah did a work and he got paid how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. We will strike the shepherd and what will happen? The sheep will scatter. Okay? They will look upon him whom they pierced. Wow, these are powerful statements out of the New Testament that we've not really been in touch with where it came from. Okay? The day of the Lord, Jesus being the righteous branch, the second coming of Jesus, the good shepherd, the cornerstone, all of these come out of Zechariah. And we didn't know it. Okay? Now, so when is Zechariah in history? What is going on? What has happened? And what is yet to come? We're coming at Zechariah. He comes at a time and period when Israel is returning to the promised land. They have been captives. They were once captive where? Egypt. Now, 800 years later, they're captives again. They're captives where? Babylon. And because Babylon had been overrun by the Persians, King Darius allows Israel to go home. So Zechariah is right there. Okay? That's where he is. He's part of Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Ezra, Haggai, Malachi. That's that group there at the end of the Old Testament that are all part of that return of Israel. Now, think for just a moment. Israel spent how long in slavery in Egypt? Over 400 years. They got out of slavery by a revolt, a massive army, or what happened? The intervention of God. The intervention of God, a miracle. It's a single most important event in Israel's history, the Exodus. God comes down without firing a shot, without raising a sword, and he delivers Israel from Egyptian captivity of 400 years. Now, how then do they wind up in captivity again? What in the world has led to such a thing? They left Egypt. They went into the wilderness there for how many years? 40 years. Trying to prepare to go into the promised land. The people who left Egypt were not a people of faith. And so a new generation had to come on. They weren't many days into the wilderness. They built a golden calf. Even after seeing the Exodus event and the crossing of the sea. And then Moses hands over the leadership to Joshua. And he goes in to conquer the new land. They set up the nation there in Israel. And then all of a sudden they want by our power, by our might, we want a king. And God said, but my spirit should be what leads you. But no, we want a king and so they had a king of great might. His name was King David. David is the man of the major might. You know, he's the one that set the boundaries for Israel. He pushed back all the enemies. And they had that. And the next king was a king of great ability. And his name was Solomon. And so they had their might in David. They had their ability in Solomon. And guess what happened to the nation right after Solomon laid down to die? It split and broke apart. Kingdom of the North, Kingdom of the South. The North is overrun by the Assyrians, taken captive. And God tells Israel, you're going in the wrong direction. What you're doing is not pleasing to me. But they would not listen. And he told them that you too, the kingdom of the south, will be taken captive if you do not amend your ways, if you do not change. But God dealt with a stiff-necked, rebellious people. From the Egyptian captivity to Babylonian captivity, from the promised land to Babylon. So now they're coming back. Once again, Darius, just by a movement in his heart, says, I'm going to let you folks go back home. Reestablish your religion. Reestablish your people. I'm going to let you come back home. And the miracle of it was so large when Darius says, I'm giving you a letter. And if anybody gives you a hard time as you make the journey back, tell them they're going to have to deal with me. And you say, wow, how would he do such a thing? It was the hand of God under the promise of Jeremiah that after 70 years of captivity, they would return. And so Zechariah, in chapter 4, if you want to find Zechariah, go to Matthew and flip back to the back and do all those eyes and you'll bump into Zechariah. Zechariah, Malachi, Haggai, all of those. Go to chapter 4. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel will be like a governor that would be part of the building back of the city and the temple. He said, go and tell him this, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the top stone amid shouts of grace, grace to it. Hopefully, Israel coming back by the mighty hand of God, by the miracle of God, having gone from Egypt all the way to Babylon, do you realize that the father of the faith of Israel is what man? Abraham. Where did Abraham leave in order to go into the promised land? Ur of the Chaldees, which is Babylon. They have now made a what? A complete circle. What God started in Ur of Chaldees and calling Abraham to leave and go to the land that I will show you, they're right back all the way. They made a circle. And they should stop and say, how can this be? Why? Coming out of the Ur of Chaldees, coming out of Babylon, you would think, you would hope that they were saying, we need to have learned our lesson. Because Abraham went down there, and then after Egypt, God flailed us to flourish there. Under David, we expanded our borders. Under Solomon, we received great prosperity and all of this. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. The temple destroyed. The city laid waste. And we as a nation that was to be the nation through whom God would do what? Reach the whole world. No longer existed. So what is our lesson? What are we to learn? And God says to Zechariah, tell Zerubbabel, it will not be by power, it will not be by might, but it will be by my spirit. Now, if you go to chapter 1 with me. There was a second thing that Zechariah was commissioned by God to tell Israel. First of all, it's not by your strength and ability. Secondly, listen as we read. In chapter 1, verse 1. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, Darius is the Persian king, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, "The Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore says, say to them, thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." And here's the challenge. Do not be like what? To whom the former prophets cried out. Now, the first challenge, not by your strength and ability, but by God's Spirit. The second challenge is, don't be like your fathers. Don't be like your fathers who did not listen to the prophets. And he says, continuing, verse 4, "Do not be like your fathers to whom the former prophets cried out, thus saith the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds, but they did not hear or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they repented and said, as the Lord hosts purposed to deal with us for our ways and deeds, so he has dealt with us." Now God said, the word of the prophets, what I declared to you by the prophets, they have overtaken you. Just as Jeremiah said, Jerusalem will be plowed like a heap, and you'll be taken off into captivity. And when the army of Babylon comes, do not resist. Lay down your arms and allow them to take you into captivity. Otherwise, you're going to die because I'm not going to fight for you. You're going into captivity because it's the only thing I've got left to try to awaken you. I took you out of Egypt with a great miracle. I brought you into the promised land. I secured the land for you. Under David, we pushed back the borders. Under Solomon, we established prosperity. And what did you want? A king. Our ability to lead. Our strength. We'll put up armies and we won't have to worry about our enemies. And God said, do you not know it's I who fight for you? Listen to the prophets, he said. Now as you go back out of Persia, as you go back, understand you go by my power and my strength, and what is accomplished is done by my power and my strength. And heed the warning of not being like your fathers. Now, what was the problem that led God to the Babylonian captivity? What was going on in Israel that the fathers were not listening to the prophets? The prophets would stand up and say, you can't wait for Sabbath to be over. Oh, now you love Sabbath. You go and you don't eat and you do this and you know all the other kinds of things that you do with the Sabbath. You come together and you sing your songs and you play your music and you do all of your stuff only to go away and sell the poor for a pair of sandals. These meetings and these gatherings, they don't change your lives. There are several places that the prophets speak out loudly. Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to jump real quickly through several of these. Isaiah chapter 1. Starting verse 12. Bring me no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. Your new moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity with your assemblies. Verse 14, chapter 1. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They become a burden to me. All of Israel's gatherings, all of their celebrations, all of their feast days and all of this stuff, God says, I hate it. Why does he hate it? He doesn't change their lives. He doesn't get them to what God desires for them. He said, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes. Though you make many prayers, I will not listen. But this is what you should do. Wash yourself. Remove the evil from you. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring the justice to the fatherless. Well, you're familiar. Amos 5 says, with what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I come with thousands of rivers of blood? Shall I offer my firstborn to be sacrificed? God says, I hate your assemblies, but let justice roll down. Micah said, love justice. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Israel was not doing any of that. They would do religious activities, but their lives were not where God would want them to be. Now, Zechariah, go back to Zechariah again. So when God is speaking to Zechariah, preparing the people to come back into the land, he says, do it by my power, by my spirit. Do not live the way your fathers lived, who would not listen to the prophets. And so in chapter 7 of Zechariah, he reminds them the same thing when he says, chapter 7, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now he said, you're anxious about rebuilding the temple and the city, but don't get lost there. Make sure that when you go back, these are the things that dominate your life. Render true judgments. So show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. Let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. But they refuse to pay attention and turn a stubborn shoulder and stop their ears that they may not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law, the word the Lord has sent to them. The prophets had told Israel, the old way and your old ways are not what I want. Jeremiah had promised and prophesied to Israel in that famous passage in Jeremiah 31, I will make a covenant with Israel. It will be a new covenant. Not like the old one which they broke when I brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt and he made a covenant with them. He said, if you'll obey my statutes and follow my command, then you will be a kingdom of priests and you will be a light to the nations. But Israel did not do that. And so a new covenant is in order. Jeremiah said, and so as Israel is going back from Persia, it's under a new covenant arrangement. When Jeremiah says, I will take my laws, not writing them on tablets of stone, but writing them where? Upon your heart. I will forgive your sins, and I will be a power in you coming out of you instead of something outside of you that's trying to affect who you are on the inside. That's what Jeremiah said God was wanting to do and would do. And with the Babylonian captivity, it was to be that movement back to Israel under new terms, not by our power and not by our ability, but by God's Spirit. And it would be something that's happening from the inside out. A contemporary, one following Jeremiah at the time of the exile, is a prophet by the name of Ezekiel. If you turn there, please. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and now Ezekiel. Ezekiel, chapter 36. Now, this whole teaching here is to keep you hold of the important points. The first challenge that Zechariah makes in the return is not by our strength, not by our ability, but by God's. The second one was don't follow the ways of the fathers who did not listen to the prophets when I tried to correct them, when I take them in a new direction. Now, they had the words of Ezekiel while in captivity. Ezekiel was in captivity with them. They had his word. So when they were going back to the promised land now this second time, these are the words that were supposed to guide them. Listen in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24. I will take you from the nations, Babylon, and gather you from all the countries, because part of Israel had been taken out into the Assyrian captivity, and bring you back into your own land. I'll sprinkle clean water on you and shall clean you from all your uncleanness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. Verse 26, and I will give you what? And I will remove the heart of stone. I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, it says, and I will do what? Put my spirit in you. So you see how powerful the words of Zechariah when he stands at this juncture of history and says, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. We do not walk in the ways of our fathers. We listen to the prophets. And the prophet says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new spirit. And it'll be my spirit in you that will take us to what I desire for you. Now, he says again in chapter 34 of Ezekiel, another strong statement. Israel had leaders, had kings, and leaders and kings were sometimes referred to as shepherds, which is what they were supposed to do, not be kingly, but to be shepherds. In 34:15, Ezekiel tells the people, God says, verse 15, I myself will be what? Will be the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus said what? I am the good shepherd. I myself will shepherd the sheep. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. And who's going to do it then? God is going to do it. Who's going to be Israel's leader? God is going to be Israel's leader. Now, so you see how this statement of scripture right here stands center post, because Israel abandoned the ways of God, the empowerment of God, and did it themselves and went after what they decided. Now they're supposed to yield to the Spirit of God, who will put in them a new heart and a new spirit, and God will cause this thing to move forward. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. It will not be by your strivings, by your might nor your power, because apart from me you can do nothing. But my spirit is what will accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Fruit to the glory of God will be accomplished because my spirit will be in you. It'll be by my spirit, not by your might and not by your ability. Paul says in Romans, it is God who does what we can't do. It is God who does what we can't do in all of our striving. God does what we can't do if we walk by the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit, and we are empowered by the Spirit. And yet humanity always goes back to striving in my own energies and my own abilities and my own powers to try to please God, when God says, no, it's not by your ability. It's not by your power. It's by my Spirit that you allow me to work through you, that I will accomplish my great good in you and in my world. to not live in the full power of spirit life, being taught and led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. To not walk in the full power of the Spirit is to continue in the failure of humanity. When man leaves God behind and takes over, that's when everything goes to chaos. So this statement of Zechariah was pointing to us learning the same lesson. Don't try to be good. Let God be good through you. Don't work hard at trying to do what you can't do. Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? What I want to do, I wind up not doing. What I hate, I do. What I want to do and desire to do, I never get to. Then not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit, may it be fulfilled in you. Learn the lesson of your forefathers. They were big on meetings. They were big on gatherings. And they went home and lived ordinary lives like everybody else. Not changed lives. They thought that they could keep God on their side as long as they paid some homage to Him for a few hours of the week. But God says, that's not what I want. What I want you to live in love relationships with me and with others. There's an unusual statement made in Zechariah in chapter 1. I know I'm pitching you back and forth, but I'm telling you, this verse of Scripture is center post to our faith. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? Now, the concept of a mountain before you is a figurative expression of something so big and so large that you're never going to be able to overcome it. Now, if there's a mountain up here and it's in the way of your view of the lake, you ain't going to move it. You know, short of an atomic bomb, and then it's not worth looking after you get through with it. But that's the kind of phrase that's being used here. O mountain, he says, that's before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Not by your might, by your power, but because God will make it happen. Listen, Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, Ezra, Haggai, Malachi, these guys were going back to rebuild Jerusalem. They've been gone how long? 70 years. Is somebody else living there? Yeah. There's somebody else living there. They've got to go back and try to claim some real estate for the building back of Jerusalem and building the temple. They're slave people. When they go back, how are they going to eat? How are they going to finance the building of the city and the temple? Do you think they got a mountain standing in front of them? He will not be by my power, but will be by my Spirit. The temple, the city was rebuilt. The nation was reestablished because God did it. But it didn't take long until Israel went back to the old ways. They go back to the promised land about 520 BC, 500 years before Christ. When Jesus walks the streets of Jerusalem as the good shepherd who was promised to come, What did he find? He said, well, did Isaiah speak of you? You're a people who do what? Honor me. And your hearts are far from me. Looks like they've come full circle again, right? They have abandoned what God was doing and now have seized it in their own power and their own might. There's a statement that, and you know, if you read Mark chapter 7, Jesus really works that whole statement there, that Israel has a religion. They have rituals, but they don't have a heart connection with God. For if they did, their lives would be enormously different. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Now it's a pretty big thing for all the nations around the Middle East there to watch Jerusalem fall, utterly destroyed, devastated, carried off into Babylon, there for 70 years with no hope of ever going back. But God intervenes. That mountain was brought low. And they go back and things are reestablished and they're there. And notice what Zechariah says will happen. Chapter 8, verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once, entreat the favor of the Lord, seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Verse 22. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in where? Jerusalem, to enter and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, what? Let us go with you because God goes with you. Now that's our testimony. If we live not by power nor might, but if we live by the Spirit, mountains are made plains, and people should notice who we are, and men should grab the robe of one and say, let me go with you, because I can see God goes with you. Where I live in the death of sin, you live in life. Where I and powerless, you find victory. There is peace. There is joy in your life. There is life in abundance with you. And I have discovered it is because God goes with you. And you're not involved in a religion of meetings, but those gatherings empower you to walk in lives of love. I found myself walking through this little bitty book and finding in it this life-changing message that stands as strong then as it does now. Don't continue in the religiosity of Protestantism. Don't count yourself a worthy Christian as long as you go to meetings. Listen to the word of the prophets. It will not be by power and might, but by God's Spirit. So let the Spirit of God teach you, guide you, lead you, and take you into realms that you cannot go by your own strength and might, and those around you will recognize and see that you walk in life and will be drawn to that life. As Jesus said, they will see the light in you and give glory to your Father. Such is the word of Zechariah to the people. It was to be their guiding principle, but it soon was forgotten. All that God wanted to accomplish by being our shepherd and being the power in us was accomplished in Jesus. And when he sat there with his disciples at that Passover meal, he said, "The Spirit is coming. And the Spirit in you will guide you. He will teach you. He will guide you. The Spirit will come with power, resurrection power, that will take the death that surrounds you and bring forth light. Walk in it. Don't leave Jerusalem till you have it." May we walk in what God has provided. I pray. Let us pray. We are to be a new creation, giving evidence that God is with us. God is in us. God empowers us. I pray that we'll enjoy the fullness of what God offers. In Jesus' name, amen.